Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Topeka to Tallahassee, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Tis a Trash Tuesday. So what is it that you're trashing? What is it that's bugging you? What is it that you want to vent about? Let us know by dialing me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, today, the Big Ten today, this week, could end up deciding to return to the football field sometime perhaps in October. We'll talk about the latest college football conference that could be rethinking its stance, is indeed rethinking its stance. Howard Griffith, our friend from the Big Ten Network, is going to join us coming up here later on in the show. We'll do our Trash Tuesday coming up next hour on the program. That's next hour for a Trash Tuesday for us. This hour, we'll tackle what is going on in Cleveland as Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham are still not on the same page, and their head coach addressed it. Also this hour, Canadian bacon, your night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Later on in the show, the Brady Breeze TV ratings are out, and unsurprisingly, they are huge. Also, we are stunned to a news, and the Bucks are throwing the kitchen sink at Giannis to stay. All of that this morning on the show, so hit us up on the phones, on the tweets, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And we begin in Tampa Bay, because we do have two games last night, Monday nighters. The Steelers upending the Giants, and the Titans, behind four missed kicks from Steven Gostkowski, finally get a made kick to survive in Denver. But the story all around the NFL is clearly Tom Brady and what happened to him and the Bucs in week number one. In that game that most of America watched, pretty obviously from the TV ratings, Brady was very underwhelming, and so were the Buccaneers. So much so that Tom Brady, the lasting image of him after Sunday, was him getting tossed down onto the field with another errant pass or another broken coverage or broken play by that Saints defense. And when the dust settled, Brady didn't look like a savant, an all-timer, this kind of will never get old, Peter Pan of the NFL that will forever stay young. Instead, Tom Brady looked every bit of 43 years old and every bit of all of the other cringeworthy, beautiful, wonderful Hall of Fame quarterbacks that went somewhere else and had some of those ugly moments. I mean, it's not Johnny Unitas in San Diego. It's not Joe Namath in Los Angeles with the Rams. But there were some moments on Sunday. Now, remember, we've had aging quarterbacks go elsewhere and have success. Joe Montana was a guy that in two seasons in Kansas City went to the postseason twice and went to an AFC championship game. He had Montana magic still left in his arm, just not as much as he had years before in San Francisco. Brett Favre goes to an NFC championship game in Minnesota after departing Green Bay. We've seen guys go elsewhere as future Hall of Famers and not always look awful. I mean, Peyton Manning ended up setting every single season passing record in 2013 after leaving Indianapolis for Denver. But the end was always difficult for all of them. The end in Minnesota for Brett Favre, the very end for Joe Montana, the very, very end for all of these guys, no matter where they go, if they had success. Look, Peyton Manning at the end wins a Super Bowl, but he can barely throw a forward pass. So it brings us to Tom Brady. And for Brady on Sunday, look, the pick six is very un-Brady-like for all but his last four games, because we've seen a pick six in the wild card game. We saw a pick six in week 17. We saw a pick six on Sunday. Going into this weekend, Tom Brady does not want to be in the same company as Matt Schaub, who once threw a pick six in four straight weeks. So you think, though, that it's early in the season. It's a brand new offense. It's a brand new set of skill position guys. And his head coach, Bruce Arians, is going to give him some leash, right? That's obviously what's going to end up happening here. Bruce Arians is going to tell the world that, you know, Tom Brady is going to be fine. We had some broken coverages, Tom. It wasn't his fault. You know, we didn't do enough around Tom. We didn't protect Tom enough, all of that type of jazz, right? That's what you would expect. No, not for Bruce Arians, who very pointedly said, yep, those are Tom Brady's fault. Yep, I don't know what he was seeing there. He's got to be better. Really? So why is Bruce Arians willing to call out Tom Brady? That's the biggest question of week number one of the NFL. That is where we begin. It's your cold open.
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game, because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. There's nothing we weren't prepared for. Everything that they did, we thought we were prepared for. That's Bruce Arians saying it's not the game plan. That's Bruce Arians saying it's not the offense. That's Bruce Arians saying that's not the wide receivers. That's Bruce Arians saying the quarterback's got to be better. And he had fuller thoughts on that yesterday as well. And here's why I think Bruce Arians is saying that. I think number one, Arians doesn't want to run the risk of the locker room saying, hey, you're beating us all up, but you're not beating Tom, and Tom hasn't done anything around here. You know, it's one thing other places where you've succeeded, you've won a lot of games, you've had rings like in New England. If you want to love up Tom Brady after a bad game, you know, you can do so because he has brought that locker room wins and championships and already has the built-in respect meter. And Bruce Arians can't expect, as they kind of turn this franchise around, or at least try to excuse away Brady's mistakes but keep hammering everybody else's, right? That's one thing that he can't do if he is trying to gain everybody's respect within that locker room and also trying to change the culture around there. It's not a place where they've won before. So you can't just ignore away Brady's mistakes. Number two, I think that Bruce Arians might be worried, might be, I'm not sure, but there could be a worry that Tom Brady's so big, he is so famous, he is so popular that there might be times where Brady might think of himself as kind of impenetrable. And maybe there's a celebrity aspect to Brady. And perhaps for a guy like Tom Brady, who obviously has tons of adoring fans and adoring media, you know, maybe he does make some excuses behind the scenes. Maybe he does sometimes think that just because he's wearing number 12 and has Brady on the back of his jersey, everything's going to be fine. We only know him as a workaholic, but behind the scenes, there could be a little frustration or at least a little exhaustion from Brady's public persona. And I say this because he's always on social media. He's like Schwartz of NFL quarterbacks. Okay, he's always playing the Tom Brady card. And I think in New England, that ran its course. And I wonder if Bruce Arians wants to kind of nip that in the bud and say, we're not just going to make excuses here. If you're bad, you're bad. And then there's the third part. And the third part is the hardest part. The hardest part. The third part is the part that a lot of media did not want to admit and a lot of fans do not want to admit because he is a hero. But Brady's going to have a lot more days like that. And that in New England, Bill saw this coming. And in Tampa Bay, Bruce saw for the first time that Tom is 43 years old, that Tom's going to play at times like 43 years old, and when Tom plays at 43 years old, you can't excuse it away because it's just bad football. And while I thought the biggest story of Sunday for the Buccaneers was that Brady didn't have all of this highly sophisticated, highly executed, highly accountable teammates around him, he had a defense that botched coverages, a special team that fumbled balls. He had an offense that didn't look that good. He had guys drop passes. All of those things never used to happen in New England. One of the obvious outcomes of Sunday also is that Tom Brady looked 43 years old. And that's going to be a hard crash and burn for a lot of people that just figured he would live forever football-wise. But I think that that's the reality here that Bruce is getting in front of. How is he going to sit in front of the media and say, well, we got to do this better, got to do that better, got to do that better? But at the end of the day, it was Brady's fault because Brady's skittish because of his age. He's not reading things correctly, perhaps for whatever reason at this point in his career. His throws are scattershot. He's getting nervous. I mean, you know, pick sixes happen usually when you're not seeing something that you should have seen or your arm can't get it to where it needs to go. This happened in three straight games now. This is a trend for Tom Brady. Also, Bruce Arians don't give a you-know-what. He just doesn't he's just not polite. And what Bill Belichick did in situations like this was not excuse Tom Brady's play, but just not talk about it. That's just going to be Belichick kind of pushing away from the dinner table and not going to address it because he's not going to address it. Bruce Arians is going to address everything. And because he's going to address everything, he's going to be pretty honest. And pretty honest from Sunday is that Brady made a lot of mistakes. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Hey, Mraz, what do you think the biggest reason is that Bruce Arians was willing to call out Tom Brady yesterday?
I was so blown away and so confused, DA, when I saw this because my initial reaction was, wait, I thought Tom Brady was trying to get away from this. My guess is Bruce Arians, as much as he's the family, wholesome coach, is trying to challenge Tom Brady and say, hey, you might be relaxed, this might be your offense, but that ain't good enough. And again, I just question whether Tom Brady went there to be challenged. That's the only thing I can come up with, is that that's what Bruce Arians is doing, which just to me seems like the exact opposite of what Brady looked like he was trying to get himself into.
Maybe, but Bruce Arians is going to have to do it if they want to win football games, because I think he's going to lose a lot of credibility in that locker room if Tom Brady's playing like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, there's nothing wrong with Tom. We got to protect better. We got to run better routes. We'll fix this in the film room. You know, I think Bruce Arians is worried about his own credibility inside that locker room if he makes excuses for Tom Brady when everybody inside the locker room realizes it was the quarterback's fault. That's what happens when Bruce Arians says, you know, it wasn't the game plan. We were prepared for everything. He can't go public and say, yeah, we got to do this, got to do that, we got to change this, because he knows his guys behind the scenes know that the game plan was right, unless he's just an egomaniac and can't admit that his game plan was wrong.
Yeah, but can't you say that in the locker room and not tell the media that? Like, can't you set an example in front of those guys and challenge Tom Brady in front of his teammates and set the tone that way? I mean, by doing this publicly, it's chum in the water for all the Sharks and everybody today to wake up and go, oh, trouble already for Brady and Bruce Arians. Like, there's no reason the media has to know that, and the public has to know that you think your game plan was good and this was all on Brady. The locker room can know that and respect you for that if you call them out, but why do we need to know that?
Maybe. I mean, this could be, though, the case of Bruce Arians can't change his ways this late in his life, this late in his career. This is the way he's always been. He's treated everybody like this, and he can't make an exception.
I guess, but you're telling me this morning they opened up the paper yesterday, and not that they get in the papers. I can't imagine Giselle sitting there reading the Tampa Bay Times, but that family's happy. Giselle flips out over every little thing internally. You're telling me Tom Brady and the Brady Bunch are all happy, the happy campers this morning, that Bruce Arians is publicly throwing them under the bus after 1 week? That can't be sitting well there.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I think a valid theory is that Brady in the last couple of years wanted to be treated differently than his gameplay suggested because of all he had accomplished. And they saw this in New England, and Bill was just sick of playing that game, and Bruce inherited it and is like, no, it's not going to happen over here either. You've got to be held accountable like everybody else. Maybe Brady is getting a little loose with his fundamentals, getting a little loose with his preparation, and he's trying to put on the social media show, but behind the scenes, it's ego time all over the place.
Maybe it is ego time. I mean, that wouldn't shock me, but again, he did do a lot of social media stuff like he was me or like he was Schwartz about how hard he was working, this, that, and the other. And I think we all expected Tom Brady, if he was going to look his best early in the year, because that would be when he's the freshest. And maybe that is Bruce Arians calling him out. And that's, again, the only conceivable explanation is what you're throwing out there. I just don't know if this continues for a couple weeks here and Brady doesn't look like this. And now Bruce Arians is already fed, you know, basically the masses that this is a problem, and if people keep harping on this, this could unravel and not end well in Tampa already in year one.
Totally, and it is four quarters of football, and so we've got a long season to go, and I think we're going to see some moments this season where Brady turns back the clock. I think you're going to see a two-minute drive to win a football game, and Brady's going to slice and dice them. I really do think we'll see flashes of that. But it's a long football season, and when you're 43 years old, it gets longer and longer and longer. And got to give them some time to figure this out. Got to give the offense some time to all coagulate, because they've come from all different areas of the NFL. But it sounds like I'm going to take a victory lap here, but I'm not. It's just that 43 years old is 43 years old. And at some point in time, Brady was going to look his age. It does not last forever. And I think a lot of people just kept wishing it away. And you can't forever. There's just a reason this has never happened. And yes, Brady's treated his body like a temple. And Brady is pliable and flexible and all of the things that he has worked so hard for. And he's got good genetics and all of that. But at some point in time, 43 is 43. And just because 42 didn't look like 42 or 41 didn't look like 41 doesn't mean when he hits the wall is going to win. And I just wonder, like, is Bruce Arians going, oh my God, we're already looking like it's December for a 43-year-old. This can't be good. When we come back here on the show, as bad as it might be in Tampa Bay after what we saw in week number one, it's way worse in Cleveland. And even the head coach is admitting this. Just how bad is it? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Morales to me is some sort of mythical character, especially on your Instagram. He's always just amazing character study.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, amazing is a loose definition, but he is quite the character study, that's for sure. Glad you're with us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Remember, you can watch us as well at watchda.com. That URL, that website works on any device. It's free, no sign-up needed, no cable provider, which is lovely. Also, you can watch us on Twitch. Why not? It's very cool. We have our own Twitch channel. If you simply go to the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch, you can watch on your TV. Love it. Or your computer, whatever it is that you want to watch us on. Or watch us inside the radio.com app. Oh, oof. Cleveland. This stat we dug into yesterday, this is just extraordinary. The last 14 Cleveland Browns coaches have all lost their debut. The last 14. They say a blind squirrel finds its nut every so often, or a broken clock works twice a day, but the Cleveland Browns new head coaches, they can't find the nut, and they're never right on the first week of their job occupation. I mean, what is that? 14 consecutive coaches dating back 30 years have all lost their first day on the job. And Kevin Stefanski joins that hallowed list of Terry Robiskie and Mike Pettine and Rob Chizinski and Pat Shurmur. Oh, God, puke fest. So yesterday, Stefanski, I don't know. I don't know what he thinks. I actually like Stefanski. I actually think he's the type of guy that can settle the waters in Cleveland. I think that they're choppy. They've got a lot of egos. They've got a lot of people that are kind of blindly faithful that they're going to turn it around in Cleveland, and they never do. And Stefanski needs, you know, he's a highly educated guy, but he's also a football guy. I think he's smart. I think he's creative. I think the jobs that he's had in the NFL, he's done very well at, and I like the idea of not chasing a total bozo like Freddie Kitchens. I mean, the Kitchens was the biggest bozo going, and you don't want to go down that road of a guy that likes to talk a big game, that's never had experience in that role. You know, you just hire him because he might say the right things. You know, Freddie Kitchens is like Rex Ryan light, and I've got no use for that, for changing what the Browns are. You need somebody that's very steady and very responsible, very accountable, and kind of does little things every single day. I think Stefanski can be that guy. But yesterday, he is asked why Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham are not on the same page. Because once again, Odell was completely invisible for most of the game. He catches only 3 passes in the week 1 destruction of the hands of the Baltimore Ravens. And this goes back to last year, where, remember, Odell Beckham had missed so much of the preseason, had been traded mid-offseason. And, you know, they said, well, he didn't have enough time to get involved with the offense. He's been injured. He missed time. He was just recently acquired. It's going to take a full offseason to really work with Baker in the offense. And then we'll get Odell and it'll work. We'll get him into midseason form. And there's no excuses now. I mean, what are you going to hide behind now of why it's not working? And Kevin Stefanski said, I don't know, but we're going to have to get to the bottom of this. Huh. Well, that's an interesting way to frame it. That the head coach doesn't know why the quarterback, best wide receiver, or best talent on the team aren't connecting, but that he's going to try to solve it. We got to try to get to the bottom of it. Mirage, this is a very curious quote from Kevin Stefanski, and it made me think a lot of things. What did it make you think?
Makes me think Odell Beckham Jr. is out in Cleveland by the trade deadline. That's the first thing I thought in my mind, is that these two star players are butting heads behind the scenes, maybe not obviously on the field, and he's going to have to make a decision. Is it his quarterback or is his wide receiver? Because maybe he's not privy to whatever their problems are, and I think it stretches more than just he can't find him on an in-seam route.
Okay, but let's ask why. Why? Let's get to the real bottom of this.
Okay.
Why do you think that Odell's going to be out, and why do you think Odell and Baker Mayfield might be butting heads?
My guess is Odell's act wears very thin in a locker room. I mean, we saw it with the New York Giants when he's doing interviews with Lil Wayne and throwing Eli Manning under the bus. And I would hope, but maybe I'm crazy on this, that ultimately a locker room is going to pick their quarterback if they believe in him over a star wide receiver. But maybe in that locker room, Baker Mayfield has a similar persona to Odell Beckham Jr. a little bit, and that only inflates kind of the friction between the two, because maybe Baker's not afraid to, you know, bite back on that. And then maybe that creates a little bit of a locker room divide as well, where there's some people maybe enamored with being around Odell the celebrity and don't really love Baker Mayfield, and some football guys that love Baker Mayfield the quarterback in the locker room. And I think that it's going to come to a boiling point in a head. And I just think that when you have two egos like that in a locker room and they're not on the same page and you need them to be, it's just going to be total friction.
So I agree. I think that what you get from Stefanski here, that we need to get to the bottom of it, suggests that it's not just a football thing here.
Yeah.
It's off the football field, partially on the football field, but maybe more off the football field. And when you talk about those two egos, that's what I think as well. I think that Odell Beckham is so mentally fragile in terms of remaining engaged in his job, remaining engaged in the offense, in the coach, in the quarterback, in everything, that he can just go in the tank so quickly. And we've seen this from him swinging at Josh Norman and fighting kicking nets and all of the types of things where Odell is crying or Odell is angry or Odell is lashing out. Odell is very difficult to corral, really difficult to keep on a straight line, which is why, while the Giants got puke back for him, I think they said, no matter how talented he is, we don't have the patience anymore to babysit this. It's too crazy when you lose football games. And that the only time Odell is a really good, he's a really good employee is when you're winning. And now vice versa on Baker Mayfield, I think Baker's still trying to figure out how to be a leader, trying to figure out how to win. And I'm sure for Baker Mayfield, who has the swashbuckling, we'll fix it, I got to be better, we're going to do it, we're going to... The walls are closing in. I mean, how long can Baker Mayfield play the card of, I'm here to save the day, if he's not saving the day? You know, Baker's been telling us this for 3 years now, that we're here to change the Browns and we're going to do great things and, you know, all, but it's not happening. It's not materializing. And they're not getting any closer. I mean, Sunday they were a disaster. So I think probably Baker Mayfield is struggling for credibility and probably confidence-wise in his own mind. He's a young dude. How does he get Odell bought in? And so Baker Mayfield's just probably just trying to make a throw. He's just trying to make a touchdown throw because those are hard enough. He's on an offense where he's trying to reset again. He's on a team that can't win games in a city that's waiting for him to be the savior. And he's got to worry about if he overthrows Odell, where Odell's randomly in the right spot once, Odell's going to go into the tank. And if he goes through his reads and Odell's not open and he goes to Njoku or Landry or anybody else, suddenly Odell's going to go in the tank again. So I just think that there's this thing where both sides are really delicate, and Stefanski probably walked into a hornet's nest and is like, oh God, how am I going to fix this? And to your first point, is Odell gone by the trade deadline? Probably. Which is going to end up being his third team. By what age is Odell Beckham? 26? 27? I mean, he's going to be one of the best talents in football and likely on his third team in 3 years.
He's 27. On November 5th, he'll be 28.
I don't know how you get Odell back on track, but it ain't happening in Cleveland. And it just feels like they're always so consumed. Forget word. They're consumed with getting Odell on track that it's distracting. And Mraz, how are they feeling in Cleveland right now? I mean, Odell was the toast of the town. Baker was the toast of the town not long ago. A year ago, they were talking Super Bowl. I can't imagine Browns fans are all that thrilled with either one of these guys.
They're not. I spoke to Ken Carmen, our buddy who hosts the mornings in Cleveland yesterday, and he said everybody's off the ship. Not on the team, not on Stefanski, but on Baker Mayfield and Odell. Everybody, all the fans keep calling in, the radio hosts, they want them both completely cleared out. And in one of the texts he sent me, he said, and you and DA, go back and watch that game a little. Anytime OBJ had a pass broken up, the entire Ravens sideline was barking at him. They know he's soft, and they can make him quit, and the Browns know it too. And apparently that is really sticking with Brown fans, that Odell Beckham just isn't playing tough enough. They think basically he gives up on plays. And Baker Mayfield, Ken Carmen was all fired up yesterday too. This was his quote. Baker Mayfield, he's a fraud. He fooled John Dorsey. He punches down. He'll talk bleep to high school recruits and radio show hosts on Twitter. He'll grab his crotch at Kansas, but he curls up and dies when confronted by grown men in the NFL. Bleep him.
Hello!
And by the way, he's basically saying that's every Cleveland Browns fan's thoughts on Baker Mayfield.
Well, Baker Mayfield talks a really good game, but doesn't execute that really good game. And Odell Beckham has gone into the tank for many, many years for the teams that he's been employed by. And he'll always have a job. It's going to be the T.O. factor where, because he's so talented, he'll always have a job. But he's just going to be a constant headache because you have to constantly babysit him to make sure he's engaged. And unless you play for the winner of all winners and Odell is getting, you know, his 1,200 yards a season, he is nearly impossible to babysit that much. Andrew Bogus has our headline this morning. AB, good morning. How we doing?
DA, good morning. We're doing well. Our first headline today are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Get to Bob's Bar now before angry Giant fans burn the place down in disgust.
Jones on a play fake. He's going to roll to his left. He's under pressure. He gets hit as he throws the ball. Flutters up in the air, and it's intercepted by the Steelers.
That's an unforced error. He cannot. He's either got to throw the ball away or take the sack. That's on the young quarterback there,
hey,
Bob.
Carl, it's Andrew. Carl Banks, Bob Papa, WFAN, Bud Dupree hitting Daniel Jones' arm there, leading to the pop-up interception for Cam Hayward. That was the 19th play of that drive for the Giants. They get 0 points out of it. The Steelers go the other way, kick three, extend their lead to 19-10. They end up winning in Jersey 26-16 to start the season. In addition to picking off Jones twice, Mike Tomlin's defense held Saquon Barkley to 6 yards on 15 carries.
This was incredible.
We put our secondary in harm's way some in an effort to do so. But it's a team game. They embraced that challenge. We needed to stack the line of scrimmage. We need to bring people like Mike Hilton and so forth, and we did. We did what we thought was necessary to minimize his impact on the game.
The Steelers' defense is ferocious. That ground defense is just elite. But that's also a huge indictment of the Giants and especially the Giants' offensive line. My God, Saquon Barkley had what, 6 yards, did you say?
6 yards, 15 carries.
Oh, my God. That's virtually impossible to do. Just fall forward when you get the handoff and you would have 15 yards. I mean, 6 yards on 15 carries, whereas the offensive line is an absolute joke.
Yeah, we know it's going to be a work in progress, DA. Rookie left tackle was the best player on the offensive line yesterday. The tight ends also couldn't block. Evan Engram might as well not even be on the freaking field. But not for nothing. other running backs, if you're elite and you're top 10, I know you need holes. You find a way to create something. I'm not asking Saquon to rush for 150 yards last night, but can the guy break a tackle once, and anytime he catches a swing pass, he thinks he's, you know, an Olympic hurdleist? How about just, you know, grind it out a little bit, get 3 yards on the ground, find a way to break a tackle? He's a stiff. I'm telling you right now, he's on the watch list this year. Get him out.
An Olympic hurdleist. A hurdleist. Yeah. Not a thing. So you're already out on Saquon Barkley, the number 2 pick in the draft, and right now the franchise running back.
Because this was my issue with him at Penn State as well. Saquon Barkley can break big runs, can hit a home run for you. His line will always be something like 14 rushes for 115 yards, but 75 of them come on one run. He's not a grinder, and I think with a young quarterback in an offense, sometimes you just need those runs, 4 yards, 5 yards, and sometimes you as a running back need to create your own holes, frankly. I mean, there's nothing new for Saquon that the offensive line stinks. And he's just, if you're going to take a guy second overall, I need more. You shouldn't have to be so dependent on everybody else. I don't think Saquon Barkley is an elite, great running back. I think he's, you know, a flashy home run hitter and that they're going to end up overpaying for. He's Kajana Carter with big thighs. It's starting to blow my mind.
Well, he's already
had, Bradley.
He's had a better career than Kajana Carter. But how about those calves? How about those thighs?
Right.
That's what everybody always drools over, the calves, the thighs.
And, D.A., give me this. I'm wrong about a lot on the show. We know.
That's right.
We know. I mean, look at the Yankees winning right now. I'm wrong about a lot. Mm-hmm. But we said it. I said it. When Saquon Barkley couldn't complete throwing a baseball from home plate to the freaking catcher when he was drafted and he threw out that first pitch at that Yankee game and he basically bounced it like 50 Cent, I said right away, this guy's a bust pick. If you can't throw a baseball from the mound to home plate as a second overall pick in the NFL, you're not going to make it. And that was the telltale sign.
I would just love to have Kiper or McShay make that as their analysis on draft day.
Yeah, that's Sean's first thought on his Monday Night Football debut. As I told you, Leaves, he can't throw a baseball, so he can't run for yards in the NFL.
That actually was a poll question, I think, one day, too. That's how deeply we delved into it.
After the Steelers won, week one ended with the Titans being less sloppy than the Broncos in Denver for a 16-14 victory. Steven Gostkowski kicked the go-ahead field goal with 17 seconds left, but only after missing 3 field goals and 1 PAT.
Oh. I'm just happy that the guys got to celebrate. And, you know, I'm disappointed in myself and embarrassed and frustrated, but at the end of the day, you know, we won and luckily, guys are happy.
The Titans signed Gostkowski just 12 days ago after being the worst field goal kicking team in the NFL last season. Derrick Henry didn't find the end zone last night, but did post 116 yards on 31.
How about
carries.
Also the Monday Night Crew calling Steven Gostkowski future Hall of Famer? You might want to pump the brakes on that. Steven Gostkowski, I don't think he's going to be in Canton anytime soon.
The Dallas Stars, the first team into the Stanley Cup final. They were down 2-0 in the third period of Vegas last night, got to overtime, and then Dennis the Menace Gurianov scored a power play goal for a 3-2 win in game 5. Listen, if I stole that one from you, that's your fault. That is the day one Dennis joke, so that's not my fault. The Stars last played for the Cup back in 2000. No playoff basketball yesterday, but we do get today, Game 1, Celtics and Heat, Eastern Conference Final, then Game 7 for the Nuggets and Clippers. Baseball last night, the White Sox dropped the Twins 3-1 for a 2-game lead on Mini in the AL Central. Those Sox have now won 9 of 10. It's 8 in a row for the Padres, a 7-2 win over the Dodgers. San Diego now just a game and a half behind L.A., in the NL West, and the national nightmare is almost over. The Wilpons have agreed to sell the Mets to billionaire Steve Cohen. Reportedly, at least $2.4 billion, will be a record for a North American sports team. Cohen just needs approval from owners. That comes via vote in November. DA, back to you.
I think at some point this week, maybe it'll be today's show, not sure. We got 2 Monday night games to break down and the Big Ten situation. But I'm just going to do a long-form on-air essay about what it's like to have Steve Cohen buy the Mets. Because as a Mets fan, we are so... It is so foreign to us to have optimism and hope. I mean, and I'm a pretty damn optimistic guy. And when I try to kind of talk myself into be awful. We are always supposed to lose, and to have the wealthiest guy in Major League Baseball buy your team. I mean, the guy is worth $14 billion with a B, $14 billion. The next richest owner, Ted Lerner in Washington, who's worth $5 billion. So essentially, the new owner of the Mets is worth three times as much as the next richest owner in baseball. It's such a crazy out-of-body experience for Mets fans. It is the craziest out-of-body experience. It would be like if a Lions fan suddenly had an ownership and a franchise that was like top-of-line class organization, and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. You'd be like, what is happening here? And imagine like a Lions fan waking up and being like, yeah, we win every game. We're just like buttoned up and we spend a lot on foot, you know, the right things. And we've got an unbelievable quarterback. You'd be like, this is out of body. That's what this is like. So I want to talk about this because it's such a weird thing coming up at some point this week. Maybe this morning, maybe tomorrow on the show. But when we come back here on the program, we got Canadian bacon as AB just mentioned. One side of the Stanley Cup final is set. Mraz will take us through the night in the pucks. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The sizzle of the best goals. The saltiness of the best games.
He's without a stick. He makes another save.
Crave the nightly action in Edmonton and Toronto of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
All right, Mraz, take us away. The night in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Thanks, DA. It was win or go home for the Vegas Golden Knights in the Western Conference Finals. The game was tied at 2 as we headed to overtime last night. And for the Golden Knights, Bogish, Dennis was a menace.
Stastny does not have a stick. It's Gurionov on the right wing side. Behind the net, Corey Perry spreads it out wide left. Roope hits up high for Klingberg. Fake the shot one time. Gurionov, he scores! Dennis Gurionov, the Stars win game 5. They win the series. They win the West, and the Dallas Stars are headed to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yes, yes, Uncle Dennis Gurionov with the overtime winner to send the Stars to the Stanley Cup Final. That courtesy of the Stars Radio Network. Dallas improved to 5-0 in overtime games inside the bubble this year and advanced to their first Stanley Cup since winning their only cup in 1999. And somebody let DA know that Mike Modano is not still on this team.
And I'll let you know that they then played in 2000 and lost to the Devils. That's really the last time they were in the Stanley Cup Final.
So there we go. Thanks to our statistician, Andrew Bogish, for correcting that stat. The soundbite of the night, Jamie, been there, done that, spoke post-game on what winning this game meant.
That says a lot about our group. You know, sometimes it doesn't always go your way in the first couple of periods, but, you know, we stuck with it. And once again, Dobie kept us in it as long as we needed, and we found a way to get it done.
Yes, it was for Dobie keeping him in it. Anton Khudobin was as loose as some salsa verde in net, making 34 saves. He has been incredible in this postseason. The Stars will now sit back and await the winner of the Eastern Conference Finals, and they may just get the Tampa Bay Lightning, who can eliminate the New York Islanders with a win later tonight. And that is your Canadian bacon.
I will give you credit for not going the traditional Jamie Ben Dover, so at least you were original on that front. Congrats on that.
Been there, done that. All right, folks, plenty more to get into the show. Don't forget, it's a Trash Tuesday. Get at DA on Twitter, at DA on CBS. Your trash is coming up later in the hour, and you don't want to hear what I have to say about my ice cream, man. The DA Show continues next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.